Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Last month, New York and the world celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. It's the most influential event in American gay rights history, and in 2016, President Obama made the site of the uprising a national monument. But there are many buildings and places critical to LGBT history that are underdocumented and overlooked. On this week's Tall Stories, Monocle contributor Henry Rhys Sheridan reports on an organisation looking to change that.
On the website of the New York City LGBT Historic Sites Project, an interactive map documents places important to LGBT history and the stories behind them. Offline, the organisation advocates for the inclusion of eligible sites on the National Register of Historic Places. Its aim is to broaden knowledge of LGBT place-based history beyond Stonewall. Ken Lustbader is one of the founders and co-directors of the project. I met him in his Manhattan apartment, a short walk from the Stonewall Inn, to find out more.
We're looking at sites that embed LGBT history, such as Stonewall, which is obvious, as well as those sites that convey the community's influence on American culture. So that could be a performance venue, the residence of an individual where a work of literature was written, a work of architecture, or a place of oppression or violence. LGBT history is a relatively new field of inquiry dating from the 1970s. LGBT place-based history, where we're looking at those sites that embody the history and have it embedded, is really only dating from the early 1990s with efforts that I was involved in and my colleagues. But the challenges of place-based documentation for cultural sites, especially within the LGBT community, are very difficult. Groups often moved frequently, so the paper trail isn't great. They didn't think they were making history, so documents are not saved. Things were thrown out by family members due to homophobia. They thought, oh, we shouldn't let anybody know that they were gay or not. And individuals, not even thinking that their own history is important, throw out records. So one snapshot that is thrown out is really my archival photograph. The other challenge that's really interesting and we're trying to deal with is the fact that within the LGBT plus community, the diversity is really something that we're trying to get teased out, but the documentation is really difficult. For example, many people didn't have access to capital to open bars or were welcome in bars. There was discrimination within the LGBT community where there was segregated bars because African-American women, for example, or men weren't allowed to go into. So for example, the Mount Morris Baths in Harlem was a bathhouse primarily for African-American men because they weren't allowed into the other bathhouses due to discrimination.
One of the things that I really like about the project is it treats relatively informal sites like cruising spots with the same kind of reverence and technical attention that it treats, you know, churches and more above board, shall we say, mm-hmm. kind of institutions. Was that deliberate from the beginning?
Yeah, we made a very conscious decision. As historic preservationists, we wanted to document places, and then we categorize them by multiple types, such as businesses, to medical facilities, to performance venues, to places of outdoor activities, such as cruising or the waterfront. And because of the erasure of LGBT history and the invisibility of so many of these activities or sites, we felt it was important to show the full range and influence or importance of these sites, such as cruising on the waterfront or in the parks and the Ramble and things like that, because that's really part of LGBT history.
The Stonewall Uprising started with a routine police raid on a gay bar, which turned into a standoff between patrons and riot police on the streets surrounding the Stonewall Inn. Ken told me how the specific layout of those streets, unusual in the context of New York City, influenced the event.
Stonewall happened because, in some ways, it was off the grid. New York was gridded in 1811 by the Street Commission, making it a north-south, east-west plotted axis. The people in the village protested because they already had their lanes cut through at angles. So that's why the village is off the grid. Stonewall was also located off the grid. So when the uprising took place on June 28th, 1969, the police went in. It was a routine raid at a mafia-run, unlicensed bar. People fought back. But what happened is that the kids who were the street kids that congregated across at Christopher Park, they knew this was their turf. So when the flanks of tactical unit people were going towards them, they would simply like go right up to them and run back and then go around the curvy streets of the village, outwitting them. It was a game of cat and mouse. I find it rather ironic today that 20 some odd years ago in 1993, Stonewall couldn't get recognized at any level. And today, it has every bell and whistle. It's an individual city landmark. It's on the state and national register. It's a state historic site. And it is on the national historic landmark. And it is also a national monument. So it's up there with Mount Rushmore, with Mount Vernon, and any other site. So it's pretty satisfying to work in the field of historic preservation, specifically at the intersection of LGBT history and historic preservation, to see we've accomplished a lot in the last 26 years.
For Ken, historic preservation is as much about the present as it is about the past.
I look at historic preservation as this amazing way to sort of concretize history and embed it on the street. When you're walking by it, you have a visceral connection and you could see it. The same thing goes with our project, where we're documenting these sites. People go online, they could see the map, they could see images. But the intangible benefits to LGBT youth or people who are grappling with their sexuality and their identity, to me, are really important as well. And that could be a sense of continuity, a sense of community, a sense of connection to the past. And it helps, because these are people who may not be comfortable speaking to someone and coming out or going to a pride parade, but they could look at this online in the comfort of their own home and understand that they're not alone, and that other people came before them, and they could read about it, and then they can come to New York and walk down the street and experience it.
For Monocle 24 in New York, I'm Henry Rhys Sheridan.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Henry Rhys Sheridan for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Ajit Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.